Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Kaniyate Male. Pashyat Purusham Purnam Payam Sitaratatsayam. Thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking it in devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism. And thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which was under his full control, purport. Perfect vision of the absolute truth is possible only by the linking process of devotional service. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. One can perfectly realize the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, only by the process of devotional service. And one can enter into the kingdom of God by such perfect knowledge. Imperfect realization of the Absolute by the partial approach of the impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma does not permit anyone to enter into the kingdom of God. Sri Narada advised Srila Vyasadeva to become absorbed in transcendental meditation on the personality of Godhead and his activities. Srila Vyas did not take notice of the effulgence of Brahman because that is not absolute vision. The absolute vision is the personality of Godhead as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Vasudeva Savam Iti. In the Upanishads also it is confirmed that Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, is covered by the golden glowing Ranmayena Patrena veil of impersonal Brahman. When that curtain is removed by the mercy of the Lord, the real face of the Absolute is seen. The Absolute is mentioned here as the Purusha or person. The Absolute Personality of Godhead is mentioned in so many Vedic literatures. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the Purusha is confirmed as the eternal and original person. The Absolute Personality of Godhead is the perfect person. The Supreme Person has manifold energies out of which the internal, external, and marginal energies are specifically important. The energy mentioned here is the external energy, as will be clear from the statements of her activities. The internal energy is there along with the absolute person, as the moonlight is there with the moon. The external energy is compared to darkness because it keeps the living entities in the darkness of ignorance. The word apasayam suggests that this energy of the Lord is under full control. The internal energy or superior energy is also called maya, but it is spiritual maya or energy exhibited in the absolute realm. When one is under the shelter of this internal potency, the darkness of material ignorance is at once dissipated. And even those who are atmaram or fixed in trance take shelter of this maya or internal energy. Devotional service or bhakti yoga is a function of the internal energy. Thus, there is no place for the inferior energy or material energy, just as there is no place for darkness and the effulgence of spiritual light. Such internal energy is even superior to the spiritual bliss attainable in the conception of impersonal Brahman. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the impersonal Brahman effulgence is also an emanation from the absolute personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The Parama Purush cannot be anyone except Sri Krishna himself, as will it be explained in the later shlokas. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksu Nilakam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadhamayam Siddhati Sapadantikam adhidanas janam dante idamyache puna puna imadrupa padamboja dulisham janda janmani vairagya bhakti risham priyatnai ayamam manadipsamandam upambuhiya paradhuka dhuki sanatanastam pabamastriyami pancha kalpa parubhyascha vipa sindhu bhaye vacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vidadhar Sri Vasudev Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from Columbus, Ohio. I am at the home of David Priya and Jaini Tai. Enjoying my stay here, which will continue another day. I have a very good bhajan kutir that's the size of 26 Second Avenue. Things are cheaper here in Columbus, so you can they were joking if they lived in New York. Just the room that I have would be their whole place if they were lucky. I have a little temple room. Nice. Another two floors, and we had a nice program yesterday. Many people came, and some people will come today. And we will continue the parampara of Eat and Make It. I don't know if all of you get that, but I will. So, one thing is, I don't know why, but I guess this is how the technology works, but there's a new phone number to get onto the Sangha. And it also appears that I didn't hear when I introduced myself that the bell didn't ring either. So, I guess we'll have to get used to this new number, and hopefully not too many people. You know, we did send out a notice that the number is changed. So hopefully not too many people are confused. But we'll continue. I decided to continue our Bhagavatam study on a very important section. And I'm going to just continue the section. Section was the life of Sri Narada Muni, and the importance of the section that life is the life of Narada Muni is being explained by Narada Muni himself, because his life exemplifies the most powerful method of self-realization, which is hearing with faith about Krishna from qualified devotees, sadhu sangha. And it's an important story because it's specifically being explained to Vyasadeva to help him understand what is the essence of the Vedas and what he is to write as his duty, as his exposition of the Vedas for the Kali Yuga, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very, very important story. I went many, many times, that three or four times in that story, Prabhupada just gives a purport in relationship to one part of the story. This is how the process of spiritual life works, and he goes from like A to Z in different ways. This is how you advance, this is how you go through the stages, and this is how you reach perfection. And at every stage, the motor, brain tracks, the moving forward in spiritual life is hearing. and the train, the kind of, you know, or it moves by sadhu sangha, and sadhu sangha means hearing about Krishna. I'm also studying at the same time on Wednesday Bhakti Sandarbha, and it becomes very, very clear that this is how the process of Krishna consciousness works. When you hear with faith, you can assimilate the knowledge, you can absorb the knowledge, you can appreciate the conception of Krishna Katha. It's all based on faith. And when you accept it, the consciousness becomes open, the consciousness becomes absorbed, and you become attracted. And that sense of attraction, and you know, attraction means devotion. You're attracted to someone's service comes the same. Krishna's attractive when we absorb our consciousness in Krishna. And therefore we want to hear about Krishna, and therefore it has to be presented with realization, which means in a way that you can understand Krishna from what is spoken. That's what Vyasadeva does. That's why Prabhupada said that Vyas, you know, the guru represents Vyas, because Vyas had realization. And with that realization, he was able to present the subject matter in an engaging way, in a way that people could accommodate and understand it, and feel its relevance and become absorbed, and therefore become attracted to what? To Krishna. Because the Bhagavatam is the sound representation of Krishna. Therefore, in the end of the hearing section in Sri Bhakti Sandarbha, it said, you know, it gave that progression that, you know, the most powerful process is to hear about Krishna. More powerful is to hear about Krishna when it's composed by exalted devotees. More powerful when you hear, you not only hear expositions of Krishna composed by exalted devotees, but when it's also spoken by exalted devotees. Higher than that, when the exposition is Srimad Bhagavatam, the sound representation of the Supreme Absolute Reality. Higher than that, when the Bhagavatam is spoken by an exalted personality. And higher than that, is when you hear particular subjects in the Bhagavatam that nourish your devotional mood. It means you have to have a devotional mood. I mean, an advanced devotional mood. And higher than that, when the subject matter is spoken by a devotee with that devotional mood. There's a whole period. But it's the Bhagavatam. That story of Narada illustrating this is how it works. And what does it do? It starts. It starts I got a little distracted. Where does it start? During the, anyway, I'll just continue. So, yes, it is. So, we're talking about this first canto, and it starts with Vyasadeva in this existential dilemma, how to communicate this. And you know, different people are connoisseurs of different things. So, and he's a connoisseur of communication. And when you're a connoisseur of communication, you know very well when what you say is properly understood. That's a good writer, that's a good speaker, that's a good teacher. And someone who is a connoisseur of communication, and he can't go on when he's disconnected from his audience. He'd rather stop because it's so distasteful, that type of communication. So this is where we're up here. And so we've seen our, yeah, where does it start? Yeah, now I remember. Where does it start? It starts in the lowest birth. Starts at Narada Muni. Son of a maidservant, doesn't know who his father is. He achieves a spiritual body. And we see, by the mercy of the and therefore, it is the Bhagavatam. And this is what the story of Narada is the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is going to explain the exact same thing. The step-by-step process to achieve the ultimate reality. And it's all based on every step on hearing about Krishna from the appropriate person. So therefore, there's many tattvas in the Bhagavatam. Bhakti tattva, what is the appropriate person? What stage are you on? What do you do on that stage? It's all outlined in the Bhagavatam. And it's why Prabhupada gave the Bhagavatam. You know, one of my favorite visions of Prabhupada, when I say the name of Prabhupada, it's the name of Prabhupada, it's the pastimes of Prabhupada, it's the form of Prabhupada, it's the qualities of Prabhupada. One of my favorite pastimes of Prabhupada is when he is standing, he's on the Jaladutta, and he's standing, I think it's Boston Commonwealth Pier, but he's standing on the east coast of America, and he's looking west. And he's contemplating and meditating on his mission. And what does he see? He sees passion. He sees ignorance. Passion and ignorance. It's very difficult to assimilate truth in passion and ignorance. Because ignorance means you don't want to move when you should. And passion means you move when you shouldn't. You need goodness. Otherwise, you can't assimilate it very well. So he's seeing, what will I do? How will I purify? And what Prabhupada does is he begins to quote the Bhagavatam, and he begins to quote another, perhaps the quintessential, anyway, some kind of word like that. Just say it on the line, Jaini Tai, get on. Quintessential. Thank you. Quintessential. Thank you. At least I know there's someone listening here. Quintessential. Now I forgot what quintessential I was talking about. The quintessential outline of the step-by-step process of how devotional service works. And that's Sutta's instructions in the second canto to the question, what is the duty of a man who's about to die? What should he not do? It's perform devotional service. And Prabhupada quotes those verses, how you progress by chanting and hearing. In other words, it's the Bhagavatam. Okay, so Narada's story is there. And now in the particular section we are today, I just mentioned again that the first canto, history of the Bhagavatam, so the first is about Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva, you know, then there's Vyasadeva, the Sukadeva, Maharaj Prithit. That's the first canto. So we're in this section about Vyasadeva, which means his interaction with Narada Muni. If that was the question at the beginning, by Shonaka Rishi, they were curious. They asked questions about Vyasadeva, Sukadeva and Maharaj Prithit, and those questions are being answered. It's basically about their lives. So it was like, how did Vyas get the realization? How did he get the realization? It was a whole story, and we went over that story many times. I don't have to repeat that story. But part of that story was his teacher instructing him and giving him the example of his personal life. And now we're back to Sutta Goswami, And now he's going to describe, after he assimilated those instructions, what did he do? If let me ask, maybe that question was asked, yeah, by Shonaka. So after Narada's departure, what did Vyasa do? And now Sutta is going to explain what Vyasa did, which is very significant because he followed his teacher's instruction, which is what? You want to realize the absolute truth, as it says in this particular verse, become absorbed on the personality of God and his activities. From that absorption, they will be revealed. And based on that revelation of the complete absolute reality, based on that, you write that, you communicate that. Because it's hearing about that, which is the essence of the Vedas. And in this age, you've got to give the essence. Forget about all the other social stuff anyway. It doesn't really work. Give a little bit of it. You got to get to the essence in this. If you don't get to the, what is the ultimate and absolute good? What's the essence of the Vedas? Okay. It's devotional service. You know, and this is it. It's the Bhagavatam. So you want to realize that? Well, realize Krishna and his pastime. Realize the absolute personality of God fully. And then explain it so people can understand it. And people will be inspired to hear about it. They'll become attracted to it. And the devotion in their heart, which is the symptom of the pure soul. Pure soul is a devotee. A devotee is one who's attracted to Krishna and therefore wants to serve Krishna. So this is the process. Now you realize it because you're going to have to explain it. And all its intricacies in the most effective way for your audience. You got to realize it now. So we're up to the part where he goes to realize that, and then Sutta is going to explain what he saw. And what he saw is the Bhagavatam. It's very, very powerful because it's his mature realization. The whole story, it's significant because he writes the Vedas, but in the maturity of his realization, he writes the Bhagavatam. It's very, very significant. One other point, I take time putting in context. One other point is another point that's mentioned is I think it's very significant, is before he goes into his meditation, creates the suitable environment. This is actually an important philosophical point. Jiva Goswami deals with it in a way. When the question arises in Bhakti Sandarbha, there's one need. Diksha. By diksha, he's referring about the Krishna mantras. Does one need diksha? If one has nam, you have the holy name, do you need the mantras, the Krishna mantras? Because the holy name is sufficient to bring you to pure perfection. And Jiva Goswami, when he discusses that, he said, yes, because of the impurities of the mind, to help us chant the name purely, we have to purify by the mind, and therefore there is the pancharatriki vidhi, the deity worship, etc. And there's so many rules and different things to keep one regulated and pure and clean, etc. Create the environment. But he goes to a proper environment. He goes to a particular ashram. Ashram means to create. Whatever your level of renunciation is, there's an ashram. And the ashram means, according to that level of renunciation, and accommodating one's level of renunciation or one's level of attachment, you create a suitable environment for spiritual life. What I like about the house I'm staying in, it's very, and I guess it's an attic, but it's a very beautiful room, actually. I like it. It reminds me of 26 Second Avenue because it's kind of like very, very like long. I don't know. It's not, if it wasn't for the stairs, I think, and maybe a foot more width, maybe it would be the same size. And there's one corner, which is the temple room. So the temple, it means like a place for worship. And the cultured people in India always see that they have a place for worship. Because, I explained this so many times, Upasana. Upasana means worship. Asana means seat. Upa means to come closer to God. You need a place for God, especially in this modern world where there's so much an intrusion by so many things, even in our own family in one sense. I mean, it's our duty, et cetera, but intrusion, that's real well. At least for that part of spiritual life, you know, the meditation, the concentration. Somehow to carve out place which is exclusively for Krishna, and a seat which is exclusively for Krishna, and a time which is exclusively for Krishna. It's so important. You know, in the Bhagavatam, it described the modern age. It's surcharged with opposition to spiritual life. Pain alpha yashashu bhav kalabas min yugage and ha munda sumanda mateo manda. It's always disturbed. They're people are short-lived. They're cheated. They're unfortunate. Lazy. You know. So it has to be an environment that's very important. He creates the environment, and then he meditates. And what I'd like to discuss today, and you know, those of you hearing me, that's my style of speaking is just as important to get the context as it is to get the actual subject, because you can't understand the actual subject out of the context. And since we only meet once a week on this, I think that's important. To really concentrate and try to understand these verses, 4, 5, and 6, and a little bit of 7, because verse 4 is a vision of reality. I'm studying now a little bit when I'm driving in my car. I have this incredible professor of ethics. I really like it. I mean, he's such a scholar. I mean, it suits my mind. And it's a Krishna ethics, ethics studied objectively as a Krishna conscious subject, spiritual subject. So I'm listening to ethics. He was outlining, what is the difference between traditional ethics and modern ethics? Traditional wisdom. He says they don't even say modern wisdom. They only say ancient wisdom. It's not a concept today so much. But one of the things he mentioned is that in ancient ethics, in traditional wisdom, that ethics is based on a metaphysics. You know, before you can determine, you know, what one should do, you have to understand what exists. So Vyasadeva, before he tells you what to do, he's gonna first have to discover what actually exists. I actually should study it because there are so many good points I could use for this class. I just can't assimilate them quick enough because I'm driving in a car. But and I think I'll listen to those things again. But so he has a vision of reality. And then the next verse, within that vision of reality, he understands the cause of the living entity's suffering. He also sees that because that's part of reality. Part of reality is where the illusory energy is, where the living entity is. And then, based on that, he gives the cause of the solution. He gives the solution. And the solution is, the Bhagavatam. The solution is to hear about Krishna. That's the solution, and it's a particular reason. So this particular verse, some of the most important verses, describes his vision. Based on the vision, he writes the Bhagavatam. You look at the first verse, Janma jasya yaton vayadittara. You look at that first verse to the Bhagavatam, you know, the beautiful verse. It's based on his inspiration. You know, when he got the vision, then he shares. So he wrote the Bhagavatam, and this is his materialization, and this is how he got that materialization. So what's the method? Bhakti yogena manasi. His mind linked in devotion to God. Because if you're to realize the absolute reality, and the absolute reality is a person only reveals themselves to the extent of another person's love or devotion. Common fact. You can't know a person on the street just by seeing him and looking at him. You can only understand the person if the person chooses to reveal themselves. Most of what a person is hidden from us. It's in their heart. It's their feelings. It's their sentiments, their attachment. That is only revealed in relationship. That's only revealed in relationship. So to understand the absolute reality, you have to have a relationship with the absolute reality, which means you have to serve the absolute reality. So bhakti yogena manasi. So in his mind, he engaged it by the linking process of devotional service. Perfect vision of the absolute truth is possible only by the linking process of devotional service. And one can enter the kingdom of God by such perfect knowledge. So according to the approach, if the approach is jnana, just analysis without relationship, then you know, you'll understand that the undifferentiated energy of God. You know, according to the approach, if it's yoga, you'll understand, you know, his localized part. It's full devotion. Then you understand. So bhakti samyak paniyate mala, and therefore completely engage perfectly. Amale, without any dirt, without any distraction. This is actually, you want to have, you know, in our processes of Krishna consciousness, what I recommend to people, at least sometime, you know, not just snash, snash, but sometime just for Krishna focus, reciprocation will be there. Sometime, on asana, upasana, come close, fixing the mind to get this. So this is the process to realize the absolute truth. You have to turn towards the absolute truth. The reason we are blinded from the absolute truth is because we've turned away. And turning away is not a physical thing because God is everywhere. It's a matter of consciousness. If you want to realize the absolute truth, you have to reverse the cause of being blinded to the absolute truth. The cause is non-devotion. The cause is turning away. The symptom of devotion is turning towards. That's called worship. And then there's reciprocation. And if you want the full revelation, it's going to represent the absolute truth. You have to samyak paniyate, but without distraction, without other things. You got to focus your mind. His position, he has to do it all the time. You know, in other ways, to advance to that platform, you have to do it for periods of time, at least. This is our meditation, our focus. And then it described what he saw. Apashyat Purusham Purnam. He saw the absolute reality, the personality of God. He didn't see Brahman. And Maya Chapad Apasayam, he saw Maya under the subjugation of God. He saw that Maya was God's energy. It was subjugated by Maya Chapad Apasayam. He saw that it was the energy, the illusory energy was under God. It was God's energy. God was not a product of, in Mayavadi philosophy means many things, but one of the things it means is that God is actually part of the illusion, the distinction of individuality, the distinction of God. It's a product of illusion. That's not what he saw, Vyasadeva. He didn't see God as a product of illusion. He saw illusion as a product of God. He saw God above illusion. And if you look at the first verse, this is in the Bhagavatam, this we saw. Now, and then, he also saw the internal energy. It said, just like you see the moon, you see the moon rays. So if you see Krishna, you see the absolute reality, you see the internal potency also, not just the shadow of the moon. You also see the effulgence of its energy. The shadow is also the energy. It's a different type of energy. But he also saw the internal potency. So in Vyasa's meditation on the absolute reality, he saw Krishna and Krishna's energies, and the exchange of those energies and the exchange of Krishna with his internal potency is Srimati Radharani, is Vrindavan. Because what is Vrindavan? Vrindavan is the full manifestation of God's exchange with internal energy. Shakti. A very interesting concept, Shakti or potency. Potency comes from the source, the Shakti, Shaktiman. The mind, Shaktiman, when it possesses potency, it has Shakti. And what is Shakti? Shakti moves. We can see the phenomena. Energy moves to serve the source of that energy. And the service of this, the ultimate reality, serving the energetic source means to love the energetic. Because that's the pleasure of the energetic source by his own Shakti. And therefore, Srimati Radharani, who is the Madini Shakti, is also the Purna Shakti. She's also the complete Shakti. She has the full capacity to serve Krishna, which means to love Krishna. And love takes shape. Love takes shape. That's part of the joy of love. It's not just an energy, but it takes shape. It displays its energy. Your love displays energy in terms of, or one's love displays energy in terms of manifestation of food. This is my love for you. How beautiful it is. In terms of how one dresses. I love you, and therefore my love is manifest in terms of how I make myself beautiful for your pleasure. A hug. A place. It's a manifestation of love. The Radharani has the full capacity to love Krishna. She is Mahabhav, which is the intensity of love of Godhead, Mahabhav Sarup. She's the Shakti, and that Shakti has a Sarup, it has a form. And the form is just an expression of love for Krishna in all sounds, shapes, forms, touches, etc. it's manifest in various ways for Krishna's pleasure. That's the way the spiritual world works, and we see it reflected here. Reflected here because it comes from there. It's just not reflected here. It's mixed with personal motive and fruit of intention. The spiritual world is full. You look at Vrindavan, it's all for Krishna's pleasure, but how does that internal potency manifest? It manifests in the sounds of the birds singing for the pleasure of Krishna, and he tastes their love through the medium of the senses. It's the wind that blows over the rivers that carry the droplets of water for Krishna, that cools his body and brings the fragrances. So the smells of Vrindavan are love for Krishna. And the one who has the full capacity to do that is Srimati Radharani, and that's the spiritual world. It's the exchange of that love. And he saw that in his meditation, and that's what's also explained here. Now, we'll do the next verse. We only have 15 minutes, but this is my style. Yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paro pimanute nartam sakritam chabhi padyate. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reaction of material misery. So this is the cause of the living entity's problem. Because he saw the living entities and he saw this external entity. So he sees this also. And what does he see? He sees that the living entity is part of God. And a key participant in the glory of God, which is rasa vaisaha, which is this exchange of love and enjoyment. He's a part of it. In the ultimate reality, he's a part of it. His heart is selfless, the love is flowing from his heart, and God is getting pleasure, and the living entities are getting pleasure, because what's flowing from the heart is Lodini Shakti, which nourishes the pleasure of God and everything else. And that's the ultimate reality. Very logical, reasonable conception of the absolute reality based on our experience here, what we see. There's an absolute reality. What does he do? That absolute reality enjoys. What does he enjoy? He enjoys pleasure. Which pleasure? His own pleasure, which is the pleasure potency. And the Shakti, which includes the Jiva Shakti, which includes the living entities, they're all part of this exchange of love in Leela, in play of God. And that's the eternal heightened sense of pleasure. And that's what the ultimate reality is. He sees the living entity, which is part of this, he's thinking himself this matter, which is already a problem. Because dream is temporary, and it's not directly connected to the self. So the pleasure one gets in dream is not the same as the pleasure one gets in self. And Prabhupada gave such an interesting analogy, described this, and he described the cinema in India. I described this before, where, you know, it's a very rigid society. And, you know, you have these, you know, in the villages, very poor people. But now, you know, there's little media, and you know, they're very, you know, their diet is such, their karma is such, they're usually very skinny, you know. And they go to the cinema, they ride their bicycle there. And in the cinema, there's a story of this beautiful Hollywood starlet and a superhero. And the nature of cinema is, the nature of drama in itself is an enjoyment by identification with the protagonist. constitutionally, that person can never get that Hollywood starlet. He can never be a superhero. But he enjoys it, but it's cheap thrills. So it's not real. That's one thing. And it's filled with duality and fear because it's temporary. Even if you have that sense, it's temporary. And you know it's temporary. So it's filled with duality because the attachment is temporary. And therefore, there's the anxiety of its end. That's it. So that's the nature. So he thinks himself a material product and undergoes the reactions. And one of those reactions is called vikara, or transformation, is that the matter is transforming. It's not real. It has no real identity. So if you construct your identity by matter, that identity is not real because it's transforming. It's only an illusion of an identity. It's not actually real. It's changing. Matter is changing. Matter is real, but the identity that you impose on matter as the self is not real. And therefore, while you're thinking this is the self, it's like transforming. It's changing. And you're completely frightened by that change. And the biggest fear is the change of death. But to speak of all the other things that threaten, because matter, the nature of matter is that matter is permanent, but the identification we superimpose on matter is illusory. It's not us. So you undergo the reactions, and reactions also mean the karma, because you know, as the soul wills in that position to be the enjoyer, and then comes exploitation, comes the karmic reaction to the exploitation. And one just becomes completely entangled, and one suffers. So Vyasadeva, because the whole purpose of writing this Vedic literature is to liberate people. And what's causing that identification? It's non-devotion. I want to be the enjoyer. I want to be the controller. See, how to end that? Well, you have to change the consciousness. To Krishna consciousness, to love for God, and therefore people have to get attraction for God. And once that begins to manifest, one will overcome that illusion, because the whole illusion is only caused by the desire to be something which we are not. When you want to be the enjoyer and controller, it can only be fulfilled in the illusion that I am the enjoyer and controller. And how is that illusion fulfilled? Consciousness is reflected on matter. Consciousness is reflected. And therefore, Prabhupada says, the living entity, he says, due to this unholy contact, the pure spiritual entity suffers material miseries under the modes of material nature. The living entity misunderstands himself to be a material product. This means that the present perverted way of thinking, feeling, and willing under material conditions is not natural for him. But he has his normal thinking, feeling, and willing. And so it's to bring us to our normal thinking, feeling, and willing. And that's devotion and love. Which is also why it's important for us in our spiritual life to also have gratitude, to also have humility, to also have a mood of service. It's also important for us to cultivate those things, because it's one way that we access that spiritual consciousness on our level of realization, along with, of course, meditating on Krishna and developing the devotion in the heart. But that sense of the selflessness of the soul has to be cultivated in service to the Vaishnavas, in gratefulness and reciprocation to others. These are also part of that. But ultimately, we have to come to the pure nature of the soul, which it's such intense love for God that there's no sense of intuitive consciousness and selfishness. Pure. Meditating on God, love comes out of the heart, and one just wants to serve and develops a deep sense of humility. There's no ahankara, there's no false ego. One becomes completely satisfied to be a part of God and not be God himself. So, this I'm not going to go over all the points, obviously, but I'll just think. So, he discusses this, and then Prabhupada naturally went, so what's the cure here? Well, you got to change that consciousness, and how is that consciousness changed? Very interesting. Listen to what Prabhupada says. The surrendering process is the remedial measure to getting relief from the bewildering ways of the... Because surrender means I'm independent of God. I want to be independent of God. I want to be the enjoyer and controller. So unless one surrenders to God, then surrenders to God means I accept I'm his servant. I want to be his servant. And I want to dedicate myself to loving him. Unless one does that, surrenders to God in that way, then God will fulfill his desire to be independent by the illusory energy. So now how does that happen? This surrendering process is completed by the influence of association. The Lord has suggested, therefore, that by the influence of the speeches of saintly persons who have actually realized the Supreme, men are engaged in his transcendental loving service. The conditioned soul gets a taste for hearing about the Lord, and by such hearing only, he is gradually elevated to the platform of respect, devotion, attachment. So our desire to hear is our level of bhakti also, one symptom of it. But interesting thing, the reason Prabhupada's putting this in here is because he's analyzing Vyasadeva's vision and why people are suffering, and the Vedas are manifest to free people from this suffering. So this is what Vyasadeva's realizing. Well, what am I going to do about this? Well, I have to present the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. I have to present the Shastras so people will get attracted to God and therefore want to serve him. They want to serve or surrender to God. And that will remedy this suffering, living entity thinking himself a material product. Why? Because he wants to be a material product. He wants to be the enjoyer and controller. And that desire has to be changed. Well, how? You hear about Krishna, you develop love for Krishna. Because when you develop deep devotion and love in your heart, then your goal becomes service. So your goal doesn't become to be the center. Your goal is to put another in the center and satisfy them. And now this last verse will do for today. Anartho pasamam sakshad bhakti yogam adoksijen. Lokasya janato vidvam chakre satrata samhitam. The material miseries of the living entity, this is very interesting, which are superfluous to him. They're not in the soul. They're external to the soul. Can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service, bhakti yogam adoksaje. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature's relation. So this is why he wrote the Bhagavata, because he saw this, he saw the miseries as superfluous, he saw they can be mitigated by developing devotion, he saw that the people were in ignorance of this, and therefore he compiled the Vedic literature. So this is the purpose of it. This is the purpose of it. And this was Prabhupada's mission. That's why he gave the Bhagavatam, he gave the books. That's why he's looking on the shore and he saw the suffering of people. He envisioned the Bhagavatam. And then, explaining further, Sutadeva Goswami confirming it, he says, this is the last verse for today, Yasyam vai shriyamanayam krishne paramapurushe, bhaktir upadyate pumsa shoka moha ayapaha. So vai certainly shuyamanayam, simply by giving oral reception, simply by hearing yasyam, this Vedic literature, bhakti, feelings of devotional service, upadyate, proud up in the heart, apaya. And those feelings that sprout up, they extinguish shoka, lamentation, moha, illusion, and baya, fear. That's a fact. It's a fact that the shelter of Krishna and the relationship with Krishna destroys these things. Purport. There are various senses of which the ear is most effective. This sense even works when a man is deep asleep. One should protect himself from the hands of an enemy while awake, but asleep one is protected by the ear only. The importance of hearing is mentioned here in connection with attaining the highest perfection of life, namely getting free from the three material pangs. Everyone is full of lamentation at every moment. He is after the mirage of illusory things, and he's always afraid of his supposed enemy. These are the primary symptoms of material disease. And it is definitely suggested here, and that simply by hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, one gets attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And as soon as this is affected, the symptoms of material diseases disappear. So, so this is what Vyasadeva saw. Now, are there any questions today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I do have... there's a couple of things about Vyasadeva's maturity of realization.
Yeah.
You know, he had already written the Vedas.
Yeah.
Before the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Right.
But it was only in the maturity of his realization that he saw that Krishna's energies, you know, his illusory energy was, and his internal form was under...
You have to speak louder, Gail.
It's only at the maturity of his realization that he understood that those various energies were under Krishna's control.
Yes.
So, I don't... did he not... understand that?
I understand your question. You see, there's a question of realization. Faith is not just I believe or I don't believe. It's a psychological condition of conviction and understanding. And somehow or other in the Leela of the Vyasadeva, etc., which is part of the, to present the glories of the Bhagavatam in this age. And it's explained that his mission, because the Vedas is knowledge, it explains the use, utility of everything, indirectly and directly in relationship with becoming God conscious. So, but in the Kali Yuga, the story goes, there's not enough time the indirect things. One has to, the real essence has to be given. And what he didn't realize initially is it's kind of like a strategy. The strategy was a little bit too long and drawn out. And it's just like everything else we do in Krishna consciousness. You can't just jump. You know, it's got to be step by step, but you can't give a process that's so long and boring that you don't get to the goal. It's always a period, it's always an adjustment when you're dealing with an audience. You know, how much you have to concentrate on their preparatory development and how much you have to give them the role. Even Prabhupada, he talks so much about you're not the body, because he saw the attachment of the people. But even Prabhupada make that consideration. Prabhupada, I have to talk a little bit about you're not the body because of these people. But if he talked too much, he would be dissatisfied, because that's all it would be. It wouldn't be bhakti, it just be jnana. You're not the body, you're not the body, you're not the body. Prabhupada also put the Krishna book first. So the self-realized soul, it's not just a realization of the subject matter, it's a realization of the presentation. Mm-hmm. And the realization of the presentation also takes some renewal of the goal and the inspiration of the goal. So, you know, he underwent the process himself, Vyasadeva, of thinking of Krishna's activities and pastimes, and it became realized, and he saw it, and that really inspired him. And that I must give it more direct, I must give it more directly. And it gave him the conviction. You know, sometimes without that conviction, you're afraid you'll lose your audience. You know, if I tell them too much about, you know, sadhana, you know, maybe they'll go away. Let me just tell them about, you know, something a little bit more indirect. But it takes a lot of conviction to tell people the truth right to their face. And it takes a lot of intelligence, because if you don't have that conviction, you may lose them at the same time. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay?
Thank you, yes.
Okay, we still need to meet and talk, I know that.
Okay.
We'll do that.
Thank you.
Okay, how do you vote? Would anybody else like to ask a question? Would anyone like to say Hare Krishna, especially today, because I didn't hear any bells? So I want a sense of who's out there.
Hare Krishna, Jayadvaita Swami here.
Maharaj, how about you're calling from?
New Vrindavan.
New Vrindavan. Okay, how about we should somehow, is there any way you can call me in 15 minutes?
Yes. Give me a number.
1-917-432.
Mm-hmm.
4306.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, actually, as soon as I finish here, just a few more minutes.
Okay.
So if that's okay.
Very
anybody,
good.
Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, greetings from Santa Barbara.
Oh, Hare Krishna. Stella, very nice to see you and hear from you and Carl. Thank you so much.
It's Anuradha, actually.
Oh, Anuradha. Okay, because thank you, Hare Krishna, Anuradha. aren't Carl and Stella in Santa Barbara? No?
They were. They just left a few days ago.
They're regular people on it. So thank you, Anuradha, and I will be coming out there soon.
I look forward to that one.
Okay, thank you for being on. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Bol Mara. All right?
Yes.
Mother Indrani.
Mother Indrani, what time do you exactly arrive on Thursday? Do you know?
1 o'clock, 12:51 into Harrisburg. Leela Katar's going to pick me up.
Okay. Okay. It's going to be close, but if I'm not there, I'll be there in the form of my book.
Oh,
okay.
I won't see you at all then, you think?
I'm going to try to extend it a little bit more now.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, well, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Is it?
This is Carl.
Carl, okay. Thank you. I so much wanted to hear from you, but I just heard Santa Barbara, and it was like an Ubi pod for Carl and Stella, because I heard you were there.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining, Dan, with Jaini Dai and Seva Priya in Columbus for the weekend. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maharaj. Very good.
Thank you. Did you get the books yet?
Yes, they're wonderful. Thank you. And we sent the other along.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Kadamba Mala.
Okay, see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Bo, Shastra Das.
Okay, Shastra, Hare Bo. People are appreciating the books. Thank you for sending them to all the people. I'm getting good response from that. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Mahahari.
Hey, Mahahari. Okay. I have to get out there soon, somehow. Great. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, we're going to end for today. Thank you all very much. Vanchakopa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayedacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. How are you doing?